I need to hear more stories from you at a later date in a private situation. I'm wildly curious.
Well, just get more Mountain Dew in me.
That's right.
To see, like, it all just comes out now.
Actually, I have some gin in my bag. We could get this.
Oh, that won't do anything.
Okay. You need the real stuff.
I need the yellow number 5.
That's right.
That, yeah, yeah. It's the truth serum. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Can you believe it? We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, even yet.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
Covering bicycles, trains, and transit. Adventures and life hacks, and remembering to hit record on the main monitor machine.
Damn straight.
And today, Kyle heads a cyclocross team.
Yes.
Get it?
We're joined.
Get it?
Joined by Kyle Heady of the Beer Mongers cyclocross team. Also of the Beer Mongers regular crowd, right? Like, you're there occasionally.
Yeah, I kind of just show up for the most part.
Right, right. Yeah. And also of what's your photography business again?
It's Treading Light Photography.
Treading
That's
Light
be
Photography.
My agenda today.
Yes, yes. He came in with one. No, it's good to have you in the studio. Jesus. Thank you. You were the only person that we talked to where there was that time we were in the Beer Mongers, where the Beer Mongers cyclocross team launch. And we took interviews from everybody. Mm-hmm. The only interview that we did not share was Kyle's because I forgot to put it up. So we have tape from Kyle hanging out after we've kind of wrapped up our whole thing. I'm pretty sure it's not on the end of that big 2-hour-long thing that we released. So there might be an extra bonus release after this show of what Kyle said that night. It might be fun.
Do you remember at all what you said that night?
Where were we again?
At the Beer Mongers, at Southeast
Division
12.
Oh, yeah, 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 totally. Yeah. I don't remember anything about that, and I don't drink that much, but when I do...
You would be there.
Yeah.
I was just... Because it was so long ago. I don't even remember what I said, and I was sober the whole time.
That's right, yeah. You don't have to drink to forget.
That's right.
I love you all. Everybody I insulted, I love you deeply.
Yeah, and also, I want to ask you just a little bit about unracing, because this is a thing. I know you don't want to throw anybody under the bus, and we're not going to ask you to, but I am curious.
Only a couple people, but
yes. Just
Terry.
Okay.
No, I'm just
Terry
kidding.
Campbell, yes. Terry, you're going deep,
he
buddy.
Can take it. He can take
Dooley's.
It. So, we're kidding, people. Dooley's. We're kidding. It's funny, right? Because they're dual wheels. Yeah, no, it's not funny, though, if it actually happens. So, anyways, we are here in the studio. It's good to have you, Kyle.
Thank
Aaron,
you, guys.
How was your 5-day weekend?
Long.
Yeah, we had 5 days off of work.
I don't want to have like that long. I'm gonna regret saying this, but I don't want to have that long off of work again.
You realize you work in the school system and you're gonna have a whole summer.
Right. Well, I'm gonna also work through my summer.
Okay. You hate free time.
I hate unstructured free time.
Oh, I see.
And I'm beginning to realize this. Like,
okay.
After Thanksgiving Day, I just packed it. I cooked 2 turkeys. I like mashed potatoes at someone else's house. Had like 2 parties to go to.
Yeah.
And that was great. And then the day after, and then the next day, and then Sunday, I was just like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Right. Yeah. It gets tricky sometimes, I suppose. Are you the kind of guy that comes up with his own structure, or do you need someone else to tell you what to do?
I am not sure I want to answer that question.
Okay.
For
well, in
fear
that case,
of other people telling me what to do.
Email thesprocketpodcast @gmail.com if you have ideas of how Aaron can spend his free time.
I have a few.
Yes.
Wait, you're in the school system?
Yes.
You don't work in the summer, right? I mean, that's why you get in the school system.
Well, right, right. So you don't have to. Yeah, I will.
Oh, and help people. And do, yeah.
Yeah.
And the social good.
For the children.
Yeah, for the children. Yeah.
Think of them.
Thank you, Sally Struthers. yeah, no, and part of why I'm in the school system is to have like that long period off, but to also have that structured with like a bike tour, perhaps, or five, you know, whatever. But there's also the cost of living, and until I'm, you know, making the big bucks like the man next to me here.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
then, you know, because I'm pretty low on the totem pole, so far. Like, I'm going to continue.
Welcome.
With the summer school business as well.
It makes sense to take the work that you can get when you need to make some more money.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Until I'm, you know, up to a point where I can kind of live off of what they give you in the summer.
Right. But here's the thing.
Here it is.
You're going to have some days when you can't work.
That is true.
You should have some adventures. You should come up with some plans. Figure out what it is you want to do. Start wherever you're comfortable. And is this too much? Am I directing you too much?
No.
I'm just saying.
Not at all.
I think you should come up with some ideas.
You haven't came up with anything specific. Like,
just
how
do
is
something
you,
with your
if
time.
If you were...
Just do something.
Okay. Thanks, guys. This is very helpful.
That's all I was going to say.
This has been therapy time.
Come up with a thing.
With Brock and Aaron.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, may it be noted that the vegetarian in the room is the one that cooked two turkeys.
Two.
On Thanksgiving.
And carved three.
Really?
Actually, yes.
Wow.
I ducked out halfway in carving the second turkey.
Uh-huh.
So
you
my
carved
old,
two and a half turkeys.
My old work, it was, you know, it's an adult care home.
Uh-huh.
And they had a bunch of people over and... for about 4 years running now, I've been the one to cook the turkey.
You've been the guy.
Yeah. And they think it's hilarious that the vegetarian is the one cooking the turkey. And it started out just because no one wanted to do it.
Right.
It's the easiest thing in the world to cook.
You know, I had a bad experience with my turkey.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was cooked. No one got sick.
Yes.
But at the same time, I trusted one of the. I bought one of those bags that you put turkeys into.
Yeah,
you know?
Turkey bags.
The turkey
the
bag.
The basting bag thing. Yeah,
sure.
They're not bad.
They're not bad, but they give you a cooking time, like a recommended cooking time for your turkey. And I followed that recommended cooking time.
And
it was just barely done.
Explain just barely. Like, what did the meat look like?
Like, it wasn't raw, but it wasn't like chalky turkey breast like you expect.
Well, you don't want that.
You don't,
it's dry and gross.
Well,
you don't want to smack your turkey down.
Yeah, but you want it to be like, you don't want to get sick, and you don't want to be scared of getting sick, you know?
Did you get sick?
No one did.
You shouldn't
That's the
be
thing.
Scared of getting sick.
I did
sick,
have some indigestion, but it might not have been the turkey.
It's not the turkey.
Okay. It might have been the family stress.
Was it?
I think it's the holiday, period.
Yeah. Could be, no.
Was it like pink?
So here's the, it was kind of sort of pink-ish.
Was it bleeding?
But not, no.
You're fine.
Okay.
You're totally fine.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to have you confirm that
center,
on top of me not getting sick.
So the center of the breast of the second turkey that I cooked, which was like a 20-pound turkey,
which is
a big turkey.
Uh-huh.
It was a little pink.
Okay.
I pulled it a little bit early,
uh-huh,
like according to the meat thermometer.
Right, which you should always use according to the FDA.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And they say you should cook it at 180 degrees for 8 hours.
That is an instant
165.
Read.
165.
Right.
165.
Totally.
Medium rare turkey. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't totally trust the meat thermometer because I don't know how old it is and whether or not it's
still
accurate.
It still works. Right,
like,
right.
Especially this particular one that, like, I pulled out of the drawer and it was, like, bent up.
Know your technology.
Yeah,
but what do you use then? Do you stick your finger in it?
Just,
I mean, how do you know?
You just kind of time it. You know, like, it's an hour for every 5 pounds.
Is that it?
Yeah. Oh.
But what if you don't know the oven? You got all kinds of things going on here.
I guess. I would trust the oven more than I would trust...
Everybody who ate
mama.
Aaron's turkey, just watch out. It's coming.
Call us.
How long does it take? I mean, yeah. That was the thing. I was kind of on edge for most of the holiday, which is why I had indigestion.
It's okay if it's a little pink. My point is, it's okay if it's a little pink.
Okay.
And then the third turkey was cooked by somebody else. This was at Anna's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Orphan Thanksgiving. Aqua was there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember you telling me she was there.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Nice.
Anyways, no one wanted to carve it, so once
there
again,
you
the
are.
Vegetarian steps up.
And, hey. Well, thank you for doing a service for everyone.
That's right.
Taking the uncomfortability away from everyone. That's nice of you.
You're welcome.
Well, over my holiday, I was with my family was in town. My little brother stayed with me, and he's 14. And
at
I was
one
like,
point, you were debating, should I take him to the lumber yard? Should we go somewhere else?
Yes, yeah. We went to the lumber yard, the indoor mountain bike park here.
Badass.
It's a repurposed bowling alley. And you know what bowling alleys are? They're huge. And so this is just a bunch of bike tracks all set up, all built out of lumber and molded plywood and that sort of thing. But super cool experience. You can go in, and we're not being sponsored for them or by them or anything. I'm just saying you can go in and you can rent a bike and you can ride it for an hour on these tracks for, what was it? I want to say it was $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Like the bike rental is like 15 or something like that. So it was pretty affordable. And if you want to go in and just see what your skill level is, you can start on the green course. And then my brother attempted the orange course just once. Mm-hmm. It was super scary. But he took
is
it like
the,
a champ.
Is that the kind of technical, like the single tracky kind of
no,
trials?
No, it's like two bowls that you can kind of do turns and jumps and stuff.
Oh,
in.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's the blue course, which is like the BMX, like full-on half-pipe type stuff. Mm. I realized I'm afraid of getting air, so I didn't do very well on any of the courses.
Wait, have you ever gotten air in your life?
Intentionally? No.
Ooh.
I think
we should go bike riding.
We probably should. No, so here's the thing. I did try.
Not that I'm good, but I'm pretty good.
Well, but you're comfortable with getting air. Yeah.
I get about 6 inches, sometimes eight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got none. My front tire sometimes left the ground. So, but I was the guy kind of bumping up and over where you're supposed to kind of get some jumps. I bumped up and over them. And
well, there's mad technique to do that.
True.
Like if
I'd like to think I have it.
Oh, you totally do. I can tell. But maybe you got to work on it a little. But when you go around it's like it's a flow system that you got to use your body to do.
Right.
And I'm not very good at it.
Uh-huh.
My buddy I just ran into on the way here, Justin, is exceptionally good at it.
Right.
Ridiculous. Like he can go up and he makes all the moves and it looks easy. So if you're doing it right, you don't even look like you're working.
Right.
But it takes a while to get there.
Well, I looked like I was working. I can guarantee that. I did get, my mom gave me a Fitbit, which is on my arm.
I was wondering
Fitbit.
About
my wife just got
if
that.
My
Christmas.
Eyes deceived me or not.
No, they do not. I am wearing technology. I wanted a wristwatch. And so now I have one that like keeps track of my heart rate,
but it doesn't say anything on it. It's black.
I know. Right.
Whoa.
It's super, super stylish.
It said something.
Did you
see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
No, when you raise your arm, it shows you what time. Wait,
so
let me try it again.
It knows.
Shows you what time it is. Yeah, it has an accelerometer
when
in
you're,
it.
Okay.
And it tells me an approximation of how many flights of stairs I've climbed. It's kind of ridiculous in some ways, although I'm a data geek, I think, and so this is I'm interested in it. But I realized that my heart was racing for an hour because I was doing this. The brown track is the one you were thinking of, I think, Kyle.
Okay.
The mountain bike track, in which it does have a lot of contours. It's not all that difficult, except for the cornering. I can't corner, and it's for the same reason I can't jump. It's because I am afraid of air, and I'm afraid of gravity, and so I slow down, and then I fall.
That's fair. It's okay. I mean, there's lots like you, and it's totally fine.
But my brother, who's 14, was like definitely, like, he does not have the fear of anything in him yet. And, I mean, if he did, sometimes he'd be like, you should go first. So I would oblige and go first. But he was not afraid of getting hurt like I was. So,
yeah. How do you say 14?
Yep.
Yeah, he just bounces off the ground.
Exactly.
He bounces onto the bike. He doesn't even fall.
Exactly.
It's on.
Right,
it's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. I recommend the Lumberyard. I keep thinking, you know, they have an industry night. It's Monday nights. And so perhaps someday you and I should go in and tape a show there.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this.
I've often dreamed of taking my long haul trucker onto like one of the tracks.
You can.
And see if, you know.
I think they'd let
you. Maybe they're going to bottom out over the.
That is
a pretty
true.
Low bottom bracket. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. Well, you should ask. But, I was thinking I should have brought my own helmet because I own a helmet. And I had to rent one because I didn't bring one. But, you know, that's $4 down the drain. Boo.
That's $4 you'll never see again.
That's right, yeah. But I ended up riding the bus around with my brother because he's not a bicyclist, really. He has a bike at home, but he didn't bring it. And he's not really...
he didn't really have a spare one.
He rides a bike like all kids ride bikes, you know, just like around the neighborhood, that sort of thing. He probably wouldn't have been excited about doing it for transportation in the rain and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
we took the bus all around town and had a great time. Also, Adele and I ended up climbing over the West Hills yesterday for exercise, and that was one of the first times in a long time that I've been out in the hills when you get wet and you can't just go underneath something. Like, you have to be out there in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a rough day.
It was, yeah. It wasn't rainy all day, but, like, it was rainy up there. Like, when we got up above a certain elevation, we were in the middle of the cloud, and it was, like, raining sideways at us, and, yeah, and we got really cold.
Oh, so. The coldest I've ever been was in Forest Park. Going down towards, I don't know, Leaf. I was going down Leaf Erickson, I guess, down to Thurman, and it's kind of downhill the whole way, right?
Sure.
When you go that way. And I'm bombing down, and I'm like, I can't keep myself warm.
Nah.
So I'm like putting on my brakes to try and generate more heat.
Just to like move your hands?
No, just to make my legs have to push.
Oh, okay.
And I remember being like I've done some mountaineering things.
Yeah.
I've done like lots of stuff in mountains, and I've been really cold and scared, and that was the worst closest to hypothermia I've ever had.
Fascinating.
Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Portland, it's rough.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of water over there, and it's I don't think people think about that maybe as much. Like,
so everybody moving here, just realize like you might die. Be aware of the Forest Park.
Yeah. Just, yeah. It's a dangerous city.
Don't go to Forest Park, people.
Yeah. Humidity will kill you. So, anyways, Adele was telling me she had this breathing technique that she learned in yoga that apparently is supposed to help you raise your body temperature internally.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, it's like breathing in.
Wish I knew that.
Yeah. No, I mean, like breathing in through your nose and then breathing out in short bursts also through your nose. Apparently, this is a technique that's supposed to help you. So, I tried. Yeah, we're all trying it now. I tried it, and I'm not sure if it worked or not.
Oh, you know you were trying it at home, listeners.
But it made me feel better about myself, whether it worked or not. So, and isn't that really sometimes what we need is a placebo?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, when I need a placebo, you know where I go.
Would it be the Beer Mongers on Southeast Division and 12?
Damn straight. I'm a big fan of what they have.
You haven't even opened
it. I have a placebo right in front of me because we talked about last week my agreement with myself that if I weigh over a certain amount, I will not drink beer. So I'm drinking
now,
ginger brew.
You won't drink beer, but
yes,
alcohol is still on the table.
Well, no.
No, you won't drink alcohol.
I decided not to.
Okay.
Same amount of calories. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, the difference is I will drink like one ginger brew and that'll probably be it, but I'll drink like four alcohols and whatever they are. And so, yeah. But the Beer Mongers not only sells beer, not only sells a fantastic variety of beer, they also sell placebos. So I'm about to open one of those right now.
Thank you, Sean.
That's right.
I love you, man.
Yes. So anyways, that's a place you should go. We are always appreciative. The Beer Mongers is the home to many cool cycling events, including Kimmy Cross, which we'll talk about in the calendar segment, including the Beer Mongers Cyclocross team. Can you say that fast?
Beer Mongers Cyclocross team.
You did a good job.
I think it's club. Oh. I don't like team. I like club or community.
That's right.
People.
That's right. BMCC.
Ah.
BMCC. Yes.
Right.
Club.
Okay.
Community.
Good thing you're here. Otherwise, we would have gotten that really wrong.
No. You're solid.
Okay.
Yeah, you're solid.
Glad to hear that.
It goes both ways. It goes all over. You know, it takes a village to ride bikes.
That's right, and also to talk about it. But we are a big fan of Sean and the folks there because they are doing a great service to the world, hosting some cool events, all sports games live with sound on the television, and lots of beer. So, thank you, Sean, for providing tonight's beverages.
Thank you, Sean.
With the exception of that Mountain Dew that I picked up, thinking that diet meant caffeine free.
I'm kind of ashamed of myself for drinking.
Yeah, I can't believe you'd admit that. I mean, that's seriously like 14 to 16. You're trying to...
I'm reliving it. I'm still young, guys. I can still run with the pack.
That's right.
You're changing color. It's weird.
to a blush? Yes.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, let's talk a little bit about the things you do. You like to go outside.
Yeah, sure.
And you love to race.
Yeah, I totally love racing.
let's start with unracing.
Okay, so unracing is not my term. It's totally, I don't even know where it started, but I think it might be, I'm blanking on the guy's name, but he's Rivendell. That's his
whole thing. Grant Peterson?
Peterson. That's his whole thing, right?
He's my nemesis.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
I'm so excited. Tell me.
I'm just stirring up controversy where there isn't any. Because I write a surly.
Oh, you're contrarian. You're contrarian. Yes. I love it. Me too, actually.
It's interesting. It's kind of a long story, and I was thinking about it on the way over, like how you break it down. So the instead of boring your audience with a bunch of like blah blah blah, but about me, the thing that I think is important is that people ride bikes, and I think that cycling keeps people from riding bikes. Racing keeps people from riding bikes.
Okay.
That's my only thing. But I love the idea of the community of it and people getting together. And Terry's a really good friend of mine, and he started this thing. And
Terry Campbell, the Beer Monger Cyclocross Club.
Yes. And actually, everything I do now, I just was thinking, it's all because of that guy, which is crazy. Thank you, Terry. Like, he got a Salsa Fargo. This was quite a few years ago. And he said, hey, I'm going to do a bike pack. At that time, I think we just called it a bike ride. And he wanted to do a bike ride out to the coast. And he wanted to map it, you know, on these forest roads. And I actually couldn't go. I thought it was a great idea. Kind of harebrained. I was like, you're going to get lost. It's going to be terrible. But I also, part of me was like, oh, yeah, it's like mountaineering on a bicycle, which is Terry's background. You know, we've done quite a bit of climbing together. And I was like, this is great. I couldn't make it. Don't remember why, but I couldn't. But the thing is, it was like a seed, and that seed like turned into me buying the exact same bike. And I went out and started riding it, and I was like, this is ridiculous. This is so fun. You stop, you talk to people, you're like, there's community happening. You start wearing jean shorts into the spandex, and people like,
oh yeah.
Right. People like, or whatever you wear, but you know, not spandex, and people like talk to you and they're like, oh, it's really cool. Like, you're just a guy on a bicycle. And where I grew up, you only rode a bike if you had a Dewey, known as a DUI.
Like your license got taken away.
Totally.
You can't drive.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest. If you couldn't drive, you rode a bike.
Yes.
Or you were under the age of 15 and you rode a bicycle. So for me, that's kind of the way I grew up. And I always rode a bike. I started riding a bike when I was like 13, you know, whatever it means to ride seriously. But I used to really like bicycling. And I started mountain bike racing and doing things. And I was in a small school where you played football to be cool, you know, like all the small communities in this country. And I love
where
I grew up.
Very Midwestern.
Very Midwestern, for sure. And I, you know, failed at that, but I rode a bicycle. And to this day, that to me, like trying to make it acceptable. And what I see is I hear people all the time, like a little bit afraid or intimidated by cycling, because they go into a bike shop and there's like a wall of spandex and like there's Cycle Oregon jerseys hanging on the wall.
Sure.
And, you know, and then they hear about like, you know, the races and things like that. And I think it just turns people away from getting out and riding a bicycle. And I don't have an agenda around this. I just like riding bikes. You know?
Right.
You know.
But you're talking about like people's perception of what bicycling is what keeps them from doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The thing. Like I don't, you know, I'm not like a... I don't really know the answers, but I know that like the idea of, I think people ride bikes, but I don't see like grandmas out on bicycles.
Right.
And I don't see like, you know, my grandpa out on a bicycle, and I don't see that many kids. And I actually, there's a whole group of people who won't ride a bicycle. And I don't know the reason. I think racing is just part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
But I do think racing is this idea that it's elitist. And I think anything elitist turns people away.
Certainly. And there's elitism. Like, it doesn't have to be racing for it to be elitism. There's plenty of that in the bicycling world.
Oh, yeah. Just today on my way up the Williams, is it right? The bike highway. I'm heading north. And there's like, you know, I'm not that fast, as everybody on the Beer Mongers knows. I'm a pretty slow guy. The last race I did, I got... what place did I got? Second to last place, but the guy broke his leg in front of me. So people know I'm pretty slow. But there's people ripping past me. And the thing that I thought was really insulting is when we got to like Wheedler, where you know, it turns into one of those bike lanes that gets a little wider so people can like they can get
oh,
up.
Oh, right.
It's like the start of a race. Like people
everyone
are asking
lines
me
up.
Because they're just assumed they're faster than everybody.
It was like a gunshot, a pistol in the air when the light turns green. Everyone's like, go, go, go.
Totally. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah. And people, and I fall victim to this as well. Like people like jockey for the front.
Jockey. That's what. Yeah. And I've done it too. Like, right, I'm not, you know, like, I totally have done it. I try to be conscious about it and, like, hey, somebody's, I'm not going to really go that much faster to pass them.
Uh-huh.
I might go three blocks, you know, or whatever, even if I'm hauling.
Right.
And it just, it feels like it's not community. When I try to, when I pass people, I try to give them, like, a wave.
Like, hello.
Yeah. Or instead of, like, ripping on my bell and, like, left, 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 left,
on
left.
On your left. Or on Williams, on your right.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, on your
because
right.
Because it's a left justified bike lane. Yeah,
yeah, it's weird. So backwards.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's like part of it, too. I digress.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's an interesting point, though. I'm interested in that. Hmm. Yeah.
I think it's, but not to excuse the bike industry too much, but I think it's an easy way to market bicycles is to make it this sexy, racy, competition-y kind of thing. You know, we see that the same way with cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost all cars, whether it's a Toyota Corolla or a Lexus, whatever, they're going to talk about horsepower. They're going to talk about, like, you
this
know, what it takes
on a
off
closed
the
course.
Line.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like, even the new, like, Prius ads, they're really not that new, are about, like, you know, this bank robber's in a Prius, and they're, like, outgunning these
cars
because,
cutting cookies in a
yeah,
Prius?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know the two most aggressive drivers, and I don't remember the order, but let's just say number one is Beamer drivers and number two is Prius drivers.
Fascinating.
That would not
a couple years ago
me.
I read this, but stuck with me.
Okay.
I'm a simple person, yes.
But tell us a little bit about your experiences with the Beer Monger Cyclocross Club. Because you said you don't do a lot of races with them, but you are there. You're around.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys keep me around. I try really hard, but I'm failing you. Again, I love you all. So Terry and was like talking to me like, hey, I'm going to do this team and kind of do it, you know, for the Beer Mongers. His brother owns this shop, Sean Campbell, and
insider trading.
Yeah, and totally. I was like, yeah, I can deal with it. I can do that. Like, do I get beer? Yeah. And I just signed up because I thought it was, like, pretty fun. And I thought it was a really cool way to hang out with people. And it was. It was awesome. The first year was so amazing. I don't remember how long ago that was, but it was back when it didn't feel stressful. And then the club kind of transformed, and there's, like, a little bit more team. It's going more team away from club a little bit. They'd probably be mad at me for saying that. I'm really sorry about that. But the idea that it's the way you keep up and you have sponsors and you have, you know, various things, it makes sense. But my, the way I'm trying to contribute to the team, because I do love everybody on the team. They're amazing people and really fun to hang with. I don't know everybody now, but everybody I do know. And I think doing an adventure side of the club, which that's a whole other term. I think is stupid adventure, but I'm clearly an opinionated person, but the, getting out and riding your bike and doing something different than racing or roadie or even mountain biking. But this idea that you can, go out and ride your bike up into Forest Park, stop, have a little whiskey if you want, have like a brownie, hang out with some friends, tell some jokes, and then bomb down. And I think that that's a really interesting way, even if it's 3 miles of your day. You don't have to do these crushing trips. Or if you want to go out and do a bike pack and go out and ride to Stubbs Stewart State Park, and this is a little bit, I'm going to do this trip for the Beer Mongers in a couple of months.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So just right hypothetically, on. If you wanted to go to Stubbs Stewart State Park and Oregon State Park, one of the finest for outdoor bicycle recreation.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah, you would ride your bike there and you'd take the train, you know, out to Hillsboro. You'd get off and ride around on some beautiful country roads. You'd end up at Stubbs Stewart where you'd have a fire and have a good time and use a bicycle for a way to do something fun that's not just cycling. Like the idea you can go out there and then maybe fly a kite or look at the stars from, you know, the mountain bike parking area. Or
there's some good star watching, stargazing up there at Stubbs Stewart. So I hear. I've never been there
phenomenal.
For it.
They've done a few like co-opting events with OMSI.
Yeah, co-op.
Oh.
cooperative, I guess is what I'm trying
They've
to say.
They've been co-opted by OMSI.
No, that's right.
No, they go up there with telescopes. It's a look in, I suppose, or a gaze in or whatever.
Sure.
Like a bunch of people with telescopes all get up there and they get rid of all the light so you can see the stuff that's a lot farther away, galaxies and shit.
Yeah, usually happens like in August during the Perseid meteor shower.
That's right, yeah. Which I have yet, you know, I had all the meteor showers on my calendar this year. And I have yet to stay up late at night to see.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Oh.
Most of them are super late. That's
right.
Hard.
It's like between 2 and 3 a.m. Yeah.
You got to wait for the moon to set sometimes.
Right, right.
Yeah. We should do that sometime.
Yeah.
Like, you know, next August.
Okay. Got to make it a priority.
No. Right. You got to do it. I can't remember when it is. It's July, but it's like a full solar eclipse.
Oh, for real?
Do you know about this?
I heard about this. Yes. I heard that Oregon State Parks is they're doing something different with their reservation system because everyone's going to crush the system with requests. And so I think they said they were doing, I forget what it was, like a lottery or anyway, it's not a lottery, but it's like they're opening
for this particular night
a more flexible reservation system because of this eclipse that's happening. Yeah. Cuz everybody wants to go outside, which is cool.
Well, yeah, like the real I don't know, whatever's going on in my head, the real controversy is which state park do I want to witness this eclipse at?
Yes.
Look at the path.
Just
type in Google path. It'll show you the path across the state of Oregon. It's incredible.
Like,
it's really cool.
But do I want to see it at the coast? Do I want to be inland? Do I want to be like up in the mountains?
I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to go because I'm going where there's nobody.
Right on.
Perfect.
East.
There you go. Yeah.
Nobody else go there. It's not good.
Well, there's a lot of space out there.
Yes.
Yes. So let's see. If you don't like having adventures, what do you call it when you go out and get lost on a bike?
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a good question.
What is it about adventure that you don't like?
It sounds to me you just don't like when something is superimposed upon another thing. Like going out and having an adventure is fine, but when you call it adventuring or let's go out and have an adventure, it becomes,
you have this expectation
on it. And
kind of, it's making adventure that, am I talking gibberish by the way?
No, not yet. No, not I yet. Think I'm tracking with you.
Like, a little bit. So yeah, if I talk gibberish, just reel me in here, guys.
Okay.
I tend to go off.
I believe in
tangents. So if the idea of an adventure is not necessarily what you're doing, and you know, I'm not like a big Patagucci supporter or Yvon Chouinard supporter. I think he's an interesting guy.
I have no idea what these words mean.
Patagonia, the company, the outdoor
the clothing company.
Nope. Okay. So I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Okay. So that company you haven't heard of. They're really big. And he had this quote that I do like, and what his quote was is, it's not an adventure until everything goes wrong.
Ah.
And I don't necessarily know what that fully means, but I think that the idea for me is that an adventure just sounds, it's just a catchphrase. It's kind of like organic. It's like, hey, let's get people fired up to do something by calling it an adventure.
Sure.
When really you're just walking.
Natural flavor.
You're just bicycle riding. You're like, I'm going to go ride my bike, and people make up these terms to make it more interesting, which maybe that's just human nature. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
So that's why I'm always careful about using adventure, because I do feel like the term adventure means like it just sounds so heroic and cool.
Sure.
Really, I don't want people to be turned off. It's the same reason I don't wear spandex, is because I don't want people to be like, oh, he's going on an adventure.
Right.
I can't do it.
I could never do that. Totally. I could never do that. Yeah.
I go to the gorge and I'm like, oh, you're going to go on a 30-mile hike. And it's like, no, I'm going to go for a half mile, look at Multnomah Falls, take a photo, and then go get ice cream because they have good ice cream there.
And that's an adventure. Or
totally.
Perhaps.
Or it's just a really long ice cream run.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I'm going creaming. Or, I don't know. Ice creaming.
You don't go on an adventure. You go out with an adventurous spirit, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that it?
Yeah,
like, it's not about doing a thing. Like, did you adventure? Well, did you do these things? It's more about, did you go out? Like, did you have fun? Did you like it? Did you see cool stuff?
That's it, Brian.
Did you get ice cream?
Yep.
Okay.
Totally. Nice. You go out and you enjoy you enjoy what you're doing. And I think when we start marketing it and when we REI it and when we make it this thing that it's maybe not, what ends up, sorry, REI and all these people, but what it ends up being.
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. And what it ends up being is this thing that turns people away. And that's the part that I don't like about all that stuff.
I sometimes hear something like that when it comes to like commuting as well, or commuting by bike. It's not, I mean, I kind of don't give myself a choice for one, and I have hitched rides to work as well. So it's really not that big of a deal to ride my bike to work, but there are a lot of people that are also like, well, I could never do that. I could never do that. And I'm like, yep. Well, I don't know. Have you tried?
It's because it's too big in your mind.
Right. I'm not a Superman. Like you said, like I'm not a hero. I'm not like trying to be anything that I'm.
I think you're a hero.
Well, I may be a hero to some people, but I'm not trying to be is the point.
There we go. Yes. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Superman's an asshole.
Yeah. What a dick.
Totally.
I could totally have used that phone for like calling somebody, like emergency services.
Right.
All they would have taken care of the problem.
No kidding. Whereas Batman doesn't have any superpowers. This is a
he's
whole other argument.
He's an asshole too.
Well,
but yeah, he's.
I suppose you're right.
Let's bring Swamp Thing into
it. He was made. The Swamp Thing.
I mean, he like saves nature and grows shit and like things blossom in his wake. I mean, the guy's amazing.
You can't argue with that.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I just agreed with myself. But yeah.
Thinking of things blossoming in your wake, you and Gabe Amadeus have done some rides, right?
Yeah, just one. A few, but just one big one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a guy that we need to get in here someday because he's got some stories to tell. But what did you do with him?
So we did a bike pack, you know. Another term.
I could never do that.
Was that an adventure?
Can't do it. It's so stupid.
You went bike packing.
Yeah, we went bike packing down in basically the southeast corner of Oregon in the Steens Mountain Range.
Yeah.
Not so far from the Malheur Wildlife Refuge or the occupation, depending on what you know of it. So I did it. It was three of us. It was my really good friend, Kevin, and Gabe, and myself. And our plan was to do this trip that Gabe and Donnie have been working on for years, amongst other people.
Kolb, who's the founder of Velo Dirt.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And there's a few other people in there. I don't know how many of them want their names all thrown up, but
some of them are anonymous, yeah.
Totally. And Gabe's really good at collaborating that stuff. And Gabe's a frontiersman. Like, I don't know Gabe really well, so what I say of him is from very little like doing trips with him, but he's an amazingly, he's a frontiersman. The guy goes out and he finds routes and he's working on really cool stuff right now that I think everybody should follow and look into because it's good for our state. It's good for mountain bike culture. And, Gabe's one of those guys that I think that there needs to be more done, but he's one of those guys that gets people excited about doing stuff, which is pretty cool because that trip was really, really hard. And I've done other hard outdoor things in my life, but I don't know that I would have done this a few years ago. But seeing that it was doable was kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess you just ride your bike. It's easy. You just spin your legs in circles. And we ended up doing a trip where we started in French Glen. We rode over the Steen Mountains down.
Like up and over.
Yes. We did not go around on the traditional or the commonly relatively commonly done trip that goes around the Steens. We did some off-road ridiculous Gabe route.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah, totally. With big tires, and they were needed, and we dropped down onto the Fields Denial Highway, which is all dirt, and then we rode to the Elvert Hot Springs. Every night we hit a hot spring, which was super rad. Yeah.
Nice.
And Elvert Hot Spring is really cool right now. It's nice. They've taken care of it. It's in great shape. And then we rode across the playa to the east side of it.
Across the beach?
Yeah. The huge beach. Yeah, totally.
They call it the playa. It's just a large deserty plain, right?
Yeah, it's basically a dryish lake bed. There's still water on it that moves around a little bit, but for the most part, it's a dry lake bed in that area. And we rode across that. We went up through a few really wild areas and ended up going into Nevada, We ended up going over the Trout Creek Mountains, which I didn't even know the Trout Creeks existed.
Right.
Right. It's
first I've heard of them.
Okay. So you guys don't know about this either. I thought I was the only one. Okay.
Is it down by McDermott?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah. It's McDermott land. It's
get your maps out, listeners.
Yeah. It's wild country. Yeah. I mean, it's like you feel like you're so far away from everything. It's like, it's kind of spooky. But you know that you have everything you need to survive. You've got stove. You've got ways to filter water. You've got two friends. And
so you can eat one. And
yep. You can climb into the other one.
Exactly. Yeah,
just, I thought he smelled bad on the outside.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think I'd rather eat Kevin.
Okay. It's good to think these things through before it becomes necessary.
He just eats really well. I don't know. Yeah. I think Gabe eats well, too. But anyway.
But Gabe would be warmer inside.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, he burns hot. That's
this
for
is
sure.
Morbid, yes.
Yeah, he burns hot. So we ended up doing this trip. Now, the part that I think I'll talk about, though, if you guys want to hear, is that the trip didn't really go as planned.
Okay. This is what you were talking about.
Oh, did I bring this up?
Well, no, you were just referencing like things not going as you planned, or like things changing or things being unexpected.
Oh, so now you're having an adventure, right?
Kind of. Actually, is that an adventure? Let me think. I don't know. I don't think it was that far. But the thing that's we did this thing at what's that bike shop, Velocult, and we talked to everybody, and we kind of didn't sugarcoat, but we just kind of told them about the trip, and we NutraSweeted it. We got people stoked about it, which was cool. People asked questions; they were interested, even if they're not going to do a trip like this. They were interested, which was really fun to see. But there's parts of these kinds of things that people don't know about, and it's like social dynamics, and it's the discomfort, and it's a lot of other things that happen on these trips that you have to mentally prepare for.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was like really eye-opening to me. And I've had some experience doing some mountaineering trips that have not necessarily gone as planned, and we've had to cut out early, or we've had to do like, you know, set up camp where we didn't want to, or pouring rain in the snow. It's terrible. So I kind of had an idea what to expect, but when you're out in the middle of a place like near McDermott, you are out. There's no bailing.
Right.
You don't even get a ride, which we tried to almost a day, and we did not get it picked up. And what ended up happening to us is we basically went through the Trout Creeks, which was awesome. We went to this amazing hot spring called Virgin Valley. There's even the little fishies in there that like eat your dead skin.
Oh yeah.
It's wild. It's like you're in Japan or something.
Crazy.
And then the storms came in, and we got these gnarly lightning storms and these really just like heavy rainfalls. So we're in the situation where we know that the dirt is going to turn to this thick, heavy,
like a paste.
The dirt in which you have put your tents up or whatever.
Well, that's fine. We're in like a campground, whatever, but our bicycles. So riding a fat tired bike, if you guys have never done a fat tired bike in a clay consistent, it turns into like a tractor tire, and it just like, and you get like, you're getting kittens jammed inside of your tire doesn't move.
Okay.
It just destroys bikes. So we run into this a little bit. And we still had to go over Heart Mountain or up Heart Mountain to another hot spring and then bomb down to French Glen.
Okay.
But we're down in Nevada, so we're pretty far from home and we're scared. And I think there's some crying that happened, mostly by me.
And we think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember for sure, but I was pretty sad. And what happens in these social dynamics is you start realizing that everybody wants to push forward because you've dedicated so far, I think this was day 6 or 7. A big chunk of your time to this trip, but you realize you probably have to bail.
Sure.
Right. So that's the one thing that I think gets a little bit washed over, and you're just trying to figure out like how to do that and everybody keep face and work together to get out, which we did really well, but it took.
So was there a lot of like wrestling with your own like pride?
I know. Isn't that so silly? Yeah. It totally was. It was like you feel it inside. Like you don't want to be the person to say, hey, we should bail.
But it's kind of one of those situations where all three of you are thinking it, but like no one wants to say. And
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And we were all trying to be like, how do you like, can we save this? Can we keep doing this? And our bail was a little bit, it was like a kind of a big deal. We had to ride back to denial, and then we had to hope for a ride, or we had to ride I think, close to 100 miles back to our car in French Glen on highway with these fat bikes and knobby tires.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of terrible. So our options are not great, but we did really well getting through it. And what I thought was really cool is how we had our moments where, like, Gabe is such – this is something he's been trying to do for years. So he wanted to finish this.
Right, driven to kind of get that goal. Yeah. Yep. I feel like I've had that before where Adele and I are out doing something and we're like, this sucks right now, but we really want to do this. Like, we want to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing, is like trying to figure out, can we do this? Is it smart? And then there's lightning storms coming and
right.
we're like, we don't have service. We don't know what the, you know, weather is going to do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see. At the time it was a little stressful, but in hindsight, we all came to the realization that we have to bail. And we did it, I thought, and at the time maybe it was stressful, but now I think it was pretty graceful. And we bailed out. We ended up getting a ride from this local that was really great. It was fun. He had like two guns cocked and loaded in the back seat of his pickup truck.
Man.
And he had like a bowl in his center console of weed and an open beer. And he gave us a ride to our car.
That's Oregon, man. That's rural Oregon.
Yeah, and Gabe has way better stories because he's been down there so much.
I'd imagine.
He told
us
you should get him on here.
Yeah.
But anyway, we ended up getting a ride from this guy, and it ended up being a good end. But there are challenges that happen when you're out there, and you have to be ready to know that these trips are going to maybe turn around and go south, and you might have to head the opposite direction and get the heck out of Dodge. You know, I have a really good home life. I have a wonderful wife. I have a great dog. So my thing is always like, all right, do I need to push this any further? No, this is cool. Like, I want to go home.
Well, this keep me from getting back to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was some, and actually the last day we rode out, it was just like lightning storm and like pouring rain. And I was in full, like I just had everything I had in my bag on me.
Yeah.
And I was all bundled up. And I think I had a pair of underwear around my neck just to act as a scarf.
That's how you know you're desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's about
we're
that time.
Riding, and Kevin kept saying, like, I'm looking for a rock to hide under. Is there a rock we can hide under? And I'm like, I don't think you do that in lightning storms. So we were like the highest thing riding down the road.
Oh,
yeah.
Both for real and for real. So we were like, yeah, super. We just smoked a lot of weed to get there. And we ended up getting to Denio, and we got that ride.
There we go.
Yeah. Wow. But it was a cool trip. It's just something that if you go into it, you got to be prepared, I think, to maybe have to bail.
Right. Yeah. Well, stay flexible.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And be prepared for type 2 fun, because those make the best stories.
Yeah.
We don't have any stories on the podcast about, like, Hawaiian vacations, you know?
Does this happen
on the
a
beach
lot?
For, no.
Not yet.
I mean, a lot of people go on Hawaiian vacations, but like, we don't talk to those people because those stories are not compelling. And
I guess not.
It's about what you find out about yourself and about the people you're with when you're faced with something challenging. So,
actually, Terry Campbell said it best. One time I heard him give this speech, and he said that when you do like a mountaineering trip, you find out who your partners are, and you find out who you are, like really find out who each other is. And I didn't think about it until I heard his speech, and I was like, oh yeah, you go out and you're not like hanging out with that work buddy, having a beer, and you're still putting on your facade of like who you are, who you want to be. Or you're not like riding mountain bikes at Stubbs Stewart where it's pretty safe. When you go out into these extreme situations, you find out what people really feel inside. And I think being open to like that really kind of beautiful connection with people is something we don't get to do unless you do these extreme-ish things. I hate using that word too. Oh boy. But the idea that
extreme.
it's Mount Dew, man. It's like in my head.
just being in the presence.
That's right.
It's like we're summoning Dan Cortez right now.
Yeah.
Sean Palmer. Oh yeah, man.
But that's a good point. And I think that is what people are looking for, connection, and people talk about that in a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different ways. But I think like you're saying, like, you get to find the genuine article, and you find out whether you like that or not when you're out there. And if you find something you like in somebody else in a situation like that, that's a valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and amongst relationships, like Kevin and I, we actually kind of butted heads at the end of that trip, and I'll openly talk about this because it's been such a growth for us. Like, we're better friends now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I remember Kevin sent me a message, and he said, wow, you've really made me think about who I am and who you are. And it was like this deeper conversation that happened instead of just being like, I'm mad at you.
Right.
You know, it was more like, holy shit, like, you're somebody and I'm somebody. And we went through this crazy thing and we came out and now we are better for it, I think. And
yeah.
We ride bikes together still and have a lot of fun. And
right.
So I think it was this incredible thing that happened. It doesn't happen that way for everybody. Sometimes it's like, I don't want to see that person ever again. Like, what a shit show.
We were going to go across the U.S., but yeah. Like, we got to
Idaho.
You know, yeah, whoever. Yeah. We're like, no, we're going separate ways now.
Yeah, and that happens too. And,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Fair. You can't like everybody. There's a lot of people in this world, but I think that that's really cool stuff that happened.
Yeah,
on that for me.
I very think cool. there is a thing when you're in civilization. I use that in air quotes. It's easy to disagree with somebody and just kind of like write them off,
mm-hmm.
because you have the convenience of isolating yourself in your, I don't know, room, house, mm-hmm. whatever, and you can kind of arrange your life to limit interactions with whoever you're mad at. And then of course, like, those feelings subside and then you're friends for a little while again. You don't have that convenience when you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're relying on, you know, just three guys, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yep. And absolutely, you have to, you have no choice. You have yeah. to, you can't be like, it's not like playing a video game when you're out there. You can't be like, oh dang, I'm not really enjoying this anymore because I'm going home.
Send right. me to the spawn point.
And you can't even, you can't even point. Like just sort of brush it under the rug and hope that it yeah. doesn't come out, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause it's gonna,
yeah,
you gotta deal with it. You gotta deal with each other.
Cities are made of walls and rugs and they are useful things, but sometimes you need to get away from walls and rugs.
Yeah, man, I like my rug. I just got one. It's pretty nice.
But it ties the room together.
Yeah, it definitely ties the room together.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up for today. But thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Wow, that went fast, guys.
Right,
it does.
All right.
Where can people find your photography work?
Oh, you know, I do the Instagram thing. It's Treading Light Photo? Treading Light Photography?
We're verifying that right now.
Yeah, please.
And you have a web thing.
Yeah, and if you want to look at my work, it's www.treadinglight.com. I appreciate it, guys. I put all of my adventures on there, and I do this.
Adventures?
Oh, shit. Son of a... See how the culture is so
gotcha,
in me?
Fucker.
I knew you wanted that. Yeah, that happened.
You got some great photography on. It's really compelling images. And
I appreciate it.
We could probably spend a whole show just talking about how you achieve some of these images, but we don't have time for that today. Oh, and Instagram, not available.
Oh, thanks. I have to fix that.
I think
okay.
No.
Oh, I was thinking is because we haven't logged in.
No,
yet,
I changed my handle.
Okay.
It used to say just Treading Light. And Treading Light is, I realize that I'm a business. I got to act like a business and not just be like this Yahoo. So it's now Treading Light Photography.
Okay.
That's why.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look it up. But yes, treadinglight.com. Congratulations on scoring that, by the way. That's. I feel like there's got to be at least a few other people out there.
Well, I get so many people trying to buy it.
Is this shot from that particular adventure? Or?
No, that shot's from going up to Warner Mountain. Look out. See, this is one of those chill trips where if you can zoom in on my bag, you see like, I don't know.
This right here?
Yeah, something like that. I got like a six-pack of beer on there. I got some pretzels. I think there's some Pringles. And there's a guy shooting me in the face with a slingshot.
Yeah, you're like looking down the barrel of a slingshot.
And this
guy's... I think he's just looking
not explicit
down.
He's got his hands in his pockets.
That's my good friend Matt. I think he's trying to find a zipper.
Right.
Yeah.
As many do. Well, do you have time to hang out with us for Mail and News?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but
all
sure.
Right, fabulous. We're gonna read some news and we're gonna.
You're about to have an adventure.
Open the old mailbag. That's right. Yeah. And it's gonna be a race to the finish. All right.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike? I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just fast, begin into the morning light. Pedal just fast.
All right, first up, our calendar. December 4th coming up real soon, Puddle Cycle, Symbols of the Season at Piddick Mansion.
Puddle Cycle always providing good, fun options in the winter, rain or shine. Fun rides to go and get outdoors, which I need motivation sometimes.
December 11th, Kimmy Cross at the Beer Mongers.
Where's that?
On Southeast Division and 12.
Yes.
And Brock, you and I will be their Black Knights.
Black
Knights. We talked
Knights.
A bit about this last episode.
That's right.
So go check that out.
Yeah. Also, December 10th, let me throw this in there. December 10th, we are going to be hosting here at Stream PDX, where we record the Sprocket podcast.
Yeah.
We're having an audio production extravaganza, like a
24-hour podcast fun extravaganza.
That's right. Yes. So we're recruiting people to record audio pieces of whatever kind, including this thing that they're calling Episode Zero, which is kind of like a pilot channel for podcasts. So, like, basically, if you want to make a podcast but you're not quite sure about the concept, you want to do like a pilot episode. Episode Zero is that. So basically, this event is going to be a lot of people crafting stuff like that, and at the end of that 24-hour period on December 10th, we'll all be getting together here at the podcast studio location, and you can come in, kind of participate in some of that, hear some of this cool audio, and enjoy some beer and some food, see our Airstream studio in person, and help us raise funds to keep this thing in housing, or to help us move to our new home. So we live inside this Airstream trailer, but this Airstream trailer has to move. So, that being said, we do appreciate, so anybody who is a regular sustaining donor, you've been sending us money for show costs for a while, and this is...
Thank you.
Just like maybe you give a kid an allowance, but then like the parents have to pay the rent or whatever, or the mortgage or something like that. Stream PDX needs to pay the rent and help ourselves establish a new location for this trailer. So we could use some help with that. Matter of fact, I'm thinking that perhaps the donations that come in for the month of December for your support of the Sprocket podcast could go towards this fundraiser.
Stream PDX.
Yeah. Aaron and I didn't talk about this.
We haven't.
No.
This is totally news to me.
But
that's it. I'm out of here.
Throw the table over. But I think this, I think we are going to give our donations to the show to this Stream PDX fundraiser for the month of December.
So I didn't sign off on this.
It's the season of giving. You don't get to write this off on your taxes or anything like that because we're not a nonprofit, but this thing will have nonprofit status at some point. So maybe, I'm not saying wait on your donations, but I am saying
because we need them now.
That's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And if you sign up in the month of December to get a little extra donation to the podcast, that could go towards this place having a permanent home. So, we're excited about that. Anyways, that's happening December 10th.
Yeah. I had totally forgotten all about this.
Yeah, that's coming up.
I'm glad you brought that
right.
up.
Right. So, on the calendar,
yes.
December 18th.
December 18th, Puddle Cycle, the Grinch sing-along ride.
You're a mean one.
Believe it's their 50th anniversary
that's
of
right.
the telecast of the Grinch.
Yep.
And they will be showing, there'll be a ride, and then they will be showing the telecast.
That's cool.
With the sing-along. And December 25th. Christmas Day, Puddle Cycle again, Empty Streets Downtown Ride.
That's right.
I am very excited for that.
Yeah.
They meet at 10 a.m. at the Doug Fir Lounge.
There you go.
So
Portland's coolest hotel.
Yes. Well, it's the Jupiter Hotel, the Doug Fir.
Oh, the Doug Fir Lounge.
Like the lounge.
Portland's coolest lounge attached to a hotel.
And of course, February 27th.
Still coming up.
For those of you in the Gainesville, Florida area. Menagerie in Motion Kinetic Derby.
It's going to be fun. If you have events in Portland or elsewhere that you would like people to know about, we can promote them. We've been doing it, and you can send those to us at thesprocketpodcast.com. So what's in the news?
Well, I got a couple things here from the Surly Bike blog.
Yes.
Not exactly news. One's kind of newsy. But this is just sort of a
this is most
piece
definitely.
Of affirmation that I think we all should just keep in mind here.
Okay, from Skip.
And I think it fits the theme of the show, actually,
yeah.
Just coincidentally. From Skip, the title is Permission Granted, and the little piece I pulled from here was, first off, let me say that I know you don't need my/our permission to do or not do anything ever.
Thank you, I don't.
What I mean to do here is simply have it said, you don't need to be anything the bicycle industry says you need to be. Too much of the gold standard in cycling, in my opinion, involves pain, suffering, or ridiculous amounts of risk. Get out and ride, but don't fall for our line or theirs that says that if you get an ECR or a long-haul trucker, that the only thing to do next is circumnavigate something. Riding it to get donuts is plenty.
Ooh,
beautiful.
Nice. Very good. So if I just want to ride to get beer somewhere, that's okay.
Yes.
And that's as much of an adventure as circumnavigating something.
To quote Maria Schur, no ride is too short.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. That's
why. I ride my ECR all the time to get beer or donuts.
Exactly.
Yes. At the same time.
Small circles.
And this is also from the Surly Bike blog. This is some real news. Titled, Kickstands for Some, Little American Flags for Others.
Also from Skip.
I'm a big fan of leaning my bike against stuff, but I do also appreciate the occasional, quote, bike magically remaining upright on its own, unquote, vibe, too.
Imagine that.
So personally, I've used a kickstand in a number of iterations of my long-haul trucker builds, which I scream, sell out!
Yeah?
Sold out!
Uh-oh.
But with that in mind, I've tasked our nerd pool to birth a solution.
And a solution birthed.
Two plates will sandwich nicely in the chainstays of your trucker, be that trucker the 26-inch or the 700C variety, disc or non-disc, and it will allow you to mount any number of kickstands thereupon.
So I could put five kickstands on one bike?
I don't think that's what he means.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go back and research that a bit more then.
I think he means like any brand or any type of kickstand.
Okay, right. Which for a long time has been a point of consternation because,
yes.
Yeah. The disc trucker leaning against shit. That's its biggest job, right?
Well,
no,
I would say its biggest job is to get you from point A to point B. But
yes. No, but it has been hard to attach a kickstand to that thing.
Yes. Well, it's not recommended.
Okay.
And many people have crushed the chainstays of their LHTs.
But see previous article.
Yes.
We can't tell you what to do.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. Or
you
not
can
to.
Just take the tires off your fat bike rims, and I think it just stays upright.
Ooh.
If it's just rims.
There
just,
you go.
Right? That's all you need.
Right.
That's,
just pop
that's
it out.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm a goddamn genius.
Get rid of your lawyer lips, yes.
So I have come into some fire from our fans long ago for coming out pretty strongly against kickstands.
I don't remember this controversy.
Oh, for real?
This controversy.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love kickstands.
Really?
Yeah, this is great.
Really? I don't know if we can be friends.
Oh, so close.
Right,
I was like
going
to ask for your number after
right
this
up to the end.
I love a dual kickstand. I love one.
Like the pleasure style?
Yeah, is that what they're called? Where they flip down?
Yeah,
and then it's
like
just
it's single.
Tripod.
It's single when it's up, but then you flip it down and it comes
so
out.
So beautiful.
Teeth.
You can work on your rear wheel. You can change a flat. It's great.
I like
it
the dual
nice.
With kickstands.
Like dual tires? And
no, having a duel.
Oh,
yes.
Like
fencing. A person, yeah.
No, Johnny K and I had like a little bit of course, good natured back
sparring.
And forth. Mm-hmm. You know,
you were fencing with kickstands.
Yeah, well, yeah. We were verbally fencing.
About kickstands. Kickstands.
Wait, why don't you like them? Just real quick, I'm sure you've said this before, but.
Well, for one, because I own a long-haul trucker, I don't want to crush the chainstays on
it. I see.
One. Two. A bike already laying down doesn't fall down.
Doesn't fall over. And you like to lean your bike against shit.
I do like to lean my bike against stuff. Like, I've got the scratches to prove it.
Right, yeah.
I love leaning against, like, a Lamborghini. It's one of my favorites.
You don't need a kickstand. Find an expensive automobile.
You just need a Lamborghini.
So that's interesting to me. Well,
I don't know.
What will
happen? I guess yes.
What will happen?
To be continued.
To the bike of Aaron Flores. Okay, so doom and gloom. What's up?
Doom and gloom. Two earthquakes recorded off the Oregon coast. This was on the 27th and the 28th. Hey, wait. What's today's date? It's the 28th.
Yeah, this shit just happened.
It just happened.
It's yeah.
Yes, I also included an interactive map here, and let me Let me bring that up.
Thank you,
quick.
Small Oregon coast town that decided to build your hospital in the same place next to the tsunami zone. That was smart.
Bum, bum, bum. A 4.8. This was just today at 3:07 a.m. And a 4.9 yesterday at 8:34 p.m. I like that you're playing this sound every time. The U.S. Geological Survey said Monday the pair of earthquakes struck late Sunday and early Monday. The first quake was a magnitude 4.9 and was recorded at 8:30 on the interactive map. About 145 miles west of Coos Bay. The USGS says it occurred at a depth of just over 6 miles. The second temblor was a magnitude 4.8 and recorded just after 3 a.m. Pacific on Monday. The agency says it struck near the first one, about 118 miles west of Coos Bay, at a depth of less than 15 miles. So, what does this mean?
Doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom. I also want to point out these quakes happen right here at the Blanco Fracture Zone, which is right next to, dun, 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 the Wanda Fuca. That's the big one everyone's watching.
I think it was fracking.
You never know. I think it's fracking crazy.
Oh, so well, speaking of fracking, though, because this is you can just move this map all over, and I just I want to show you a little bit of something that I discovered.
Can you email that to me? That's cool. Or scary.
What state is that?
Oklahoma.
That's Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of the fracking capital of the U.S.
There's a lot of earthquakes.
Look
down
at
there.
All of those earthquakes.
That's interesting.
Let's go a little bit north here.
What's that over there on the lower left? That's Yellowstone.
That's Yellowstone. There we go. Yes. Dun, dun, dun. The red ones happened in the last 72 hours, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your takeaway from this?
What was my takeaway?
Yes.
That we should be prepared. I'm not saying that we should all run for the hills, but perhaps, maybe, we shouldn't be resting on our laurels too much.
So, get some extra food, get some extra water, stash it away.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if I learned anything from 10 Cloverfield Lane, the person who brings you into the shelter isn't necessarily your friend. Spoilers.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't seen it, but wow.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. It is good to know, and watch the trends and be prepared for whatever could come your way, most definitely.
Yes.
I may not have precise certainty about what's going to happen next geologically, but one thing that we both have that we can rally around.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Way to brighten that up.
Hey.
First up, Doug Robertson throws down the gauntlet.
The gauntlet.
He says he cleared up a few things and said, first off, he didn't ride his Brompton year-round, but he does ride bikes year-round.
Okay, there we go.
And he says, as long as you brought it up, there are other places than Alaska that have brutal winters. Northern Minnesota is more like Canada and Alaska than the rest of the U.S. when it comes to cold and snow. I could give Phil in Alaska a run for his money. My coldest commute has been negative 32 degrees, not including wind chill. Two winters ago, we had 55 mornings with temperatures below zero. I rode to work every day. After a string of minus 20 degrees mornings, I tell you, 0 degrees feels balmy.
Wow.
Duluth is surrounded by northwoods and wetlands. We don't have grizzlies, but we have black bears. A study 10 years ago estimated a population numbering 42 that lives
42
within the city limits. I've seen black bears 6 times while commuting to and from work. I've been riding a Pugsley since 2006 and 2 Arrowhead 135s under my belt and more than 5,000 miles ridden on snow. You're really liking that sound today.
Today I am, yeah. No, it's pretty impressive, and yeah, I hope that Doug does not feel slighted. We don't mean to say. You know, honestly, we need to find it. So we need to craft. Someone needs to make fan art of Phil with a grizzly on his back. And
Doug with a black bear
on his back. And they're like riding towards each other and they're jousting.
Or they're jousting with the bears.
With bears.
And we should do one with just another Portlander on our back.
There you go. Perfect.
Because that's all we
perfect.
Have.
Yeah, yeah.
We just have a lot of Portlanders.
Chris in Colorado.
Says, gents, now that you have a sweet space, what about more video stuff?
Oh, God, kill me now.
P.S., you guys power my semi-regular ride.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. No, I mean, it's not that I wouldn't want to do that. I think video could be very interesting, but just like the technical setup of that would be so. I mean,
we can make it as complicated or as simple as we want it to be.
You
want to
go live on Facebook and just do that thing?
Well, I mean, maybe this requires some clarifying from Chris.
What kind of video does he want?
I mean,
I have to put my pants on. That's weird.
See, that's the first reason we're not doing video.
I mean, you can crop it to the shoulders up.
In post? Fair. That's good. Okay.
just a black bar from the shoulders down. Right.
What's happening in there anyways?
I don't know if he means like we start live streaming as much as like...
Or video.
We used to put out videos of us, you know,
running
down the alley.
Occasionally.
I can help you guys with some of that if you want.
Yeah? You can chase us down the alley?
I mean, I'm fast.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
All right. Well, we shall see. I just know that, you know, we're doing the best we can with what we've got.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just, you know, I wouldn't want to, like, throw out the idea altogether.
No, no. Look, Chris, what kind of video projects do you want to see? That's the question.
Yes. Yeah. I would want some clarification, mostly.
I'll Instagram a picture of their space they're working in.
There we go.
To see.
Sounds good. And then lastly,
Mr. T has a bike flight story.
Mr. T.
You mentioned bike flights on a recent episode. I wanted to let you know that I used it for my trip this past October, and it worked well. Borrowed a hard case, packed my bike, and took it to a FedEx retailer. It took 4 business days, arrived as promised, and only cost $35 to ship it from Montana to Kansas City. When I was done with my KATY trail tour.
The Katy Trail.
Yes. Mm. I rode Amtrak back to KC, packed the bike up, and took it to a FedEx location in Kansas City. Another $35, and it was safely back at my home 4 days later.
That's not bad. That's cheaper than Amtrak freight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know precisely now what I need to do if I want to take my bike to Boston.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, hey, it's a good time to wrap this whole thing up.
I suppose it is.
Yeah. Kyle, Hetty, thank you for joining us. It's good to
Thanks,
see you.
Thanks, guys. Good chat with you.
Good to drink with you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it again.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Here come your credits. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
Thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadow Foot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Bozenski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt,
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaser, Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cuey,
Peanut Butter Jar, Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado,
Drew the Welder, the Welder, Anna, Krista.
If you said Welda, they would all three.
It's true. They would rhyme.
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, King of Division.
Josh Zissen, Richard G., Guthrie Straw.
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green.
Mac Nurse, David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton.
Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan, Michael Flournoy.
Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays, Tim Coleman.
Mr. T., Harry Kugel, Ed Whitman.
Say Harry's name again.
Harry Hugel.
Yeah, E.J. Finneran. Paul Culbertson, not his real name.
Did I not say it right?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, and all of
particular.
Our
And Subvert.
Oh, yes, and...
And you know what? Subvert, not a fashion magazine.
What?
Just learned that. And all of our former
a
donors.
A person, not a fashion magazine.
That's right.
And all of our former donors who've helped us get this far. Thank you so much. Now, if you're still listening,
brush your teeth
and go to bed.
You guys are pro. Game. Yeah, you guys are good. Sorry if I rambled.
No, it was perfect.
Did I just break your headset?
No, those are weird.
Yeah, sorry. I've never done that, so I don't know if that's a ramble or how that goes.
Okay. No, that's exactly what we do here.
Yeah, okay, is that cool?
Yeah, it's totally good.
Because I was like, I don't know. My wife was like, you ramble a lot, so I worry about that.
Sorry. I usually answer that with, have you heard our show?